Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
I'm your host, FSP, Vic in a Place to Be. I'm also sad to say that, you know, one of the first flashy fighters from the Latino community, a guy that was, you know, he gave you your money's worth when he boxed. He gave you your money's worth. Hector Macho Camacho. He's come off life support, and he's passed away. Now, this guy was young. I believe he died in Puerto Rico. Got shot in the head. That's like an assassination. That's not an accidental shooting or something like that. This guy was killed. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know what it's related to or anything like that, but it's sad. The guy was young, relatively. You know, I'm 36. He's probably, what, 46, almost 50, something like that. Very good boxer. Very good individual, you know. And last week, my co-host and I, Jerry, we had, and my cousin and Black, we had a discussion about boxing versus MMA. I mean, it's sad that we're talking about this right now, but you know, the macho man of boxing, you know, there's macho man in wrestling, but he was somewhat of an icon of his era. That's why he's making public news. He was like any Joe Blow boxer. He wouldn't have made any type of news. I'm going to bring in my co-host right now, Jerry ATM Taylor, to talk about this because, again, this is his alley, boxing. And, well, I see I just lost Jerry. But it's different when you're looking at a boxer or entertainer and thinking, well, you know, it's crazy at what's going on in the boxing rings and outside of boxing, but to have a guy's life cut short for whatever, extortion, a rob, whatever it was, to have his life cut short. It's a tragedy. Pure, unadulterated tragedy. I mean, think about that, you know? But anyway, hopefully my co-host calls back in. And he can speak on that a little bit. Not sure what happened to him. We got a lot of stuff lined up today. I mean, I've got sound bites out the wazoo. football, baseball, excuse me, football, basketball, and some college stuff going on, college football and college basketball. So I want to talk about Thanksgiving games. You know, three, well, let's say two good games and one utterly destructive, disastrous game, the Jets and the Patriots, but, you know, crazy. We'll talk about the early portions of the NBA season. Got some sound bites from some good games that took place last night, some buzzer beaters, some game winners. We have some play-by-play on that. Also, will Notre Dame beat USC today? They go on to play in the national title game for the first time in 20 years. Last time Notre Dame was ranked number one was 1993. That was my sophomore year of college. I mean, of high school. Graduated high school in 1994. Jerry, I imagine, was, you know, in Vietnam, you know, hunting for Charlie or whatever they called it back then.
You got jokes. You got jokes.
What?
Hello there, Mr. Gardner. How are you today?
I'm good in yourself. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to get your thoughts on the Macho Man and your thoughts on what happened and what you remember about him in the ring and outside of the ring.
He's a Hispanic version of Mr. Mayweather, very high profile, very controversial person when he was into boxing. He's still controversial up until this time. Hector seemed like I hate to call him just Hector, but Camacho was like very volatile type of player. I mean, not player, but boxer. You never know what he was going to do or how he was going to do it. He liked to show out all the time. Very entertaining in the ring and troubled life outside of the ring. But this is you never like to see anybody under these, you know, happen to him under these circumstances. It's not you know. Definitely not a good thing, even though, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know what to say. I was shocked, but not shocked because his lifestyle, you would have to think that something like that would be bound to happen because he just lived on the edge. He lived on the edge.
Okay, he lived on the edge, but, you know, to be... I'm just saying, I don't know if it's true or not, but to be executed, like I get shot in the head in another country, you know, that's wild.
Well, what can I tell you, man? I mean, he was in Puerto Rico. He was probably hanging out with his people. So, you don't know the circumstances. You don't know what happened, but... No, definitely you don't want to see anybody go out like that. So, I mean, it's a sad thing. I think he's probably going to get taken off life support sometime.
No, they already did.
Oh, they already did it
yesterday. Yeah,
okay.
They did it yesterday.
Oh, they did? Because I thought they were waiting, because from what I saw on the internet, I thought that they were waiting for his family.
Family to come down?
Yeah.
Says the report I got says he died.
Oh, really?
Did you check something recently? Something that's like within the last hour or so? Because I didn't check anything in the last hour.
Oh, no, this is earlier this morning before I went out. I had to go out this morning and they were waiting for his people to get there. Yeah, exactly. Oh, he dies. He died died Saturday. He died today.
Yeah, today. That's what they say.
Yeah.
But it's different, and I played it right after I did the intro. You know, Michael Buffer announced him coming into the ring. And, you know, as you said, he was the Latino version of Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Before Floyd was Floyd.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Very flamboyant. But he gave the boxing fan their money's worth. There wasn't a dull fight. There wasn't a, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to try to get this easy win. It was, we're going to scrap tooth and nail. You know? But, sorry to say, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Now, I want to go basketball first because I got a lot of basketball sound bites. But I've got some other things we're going to talk about, too. A lot of football stuff on tap. But have you been following basketball lately?
I'm listening.
Okay, well, I was asking. Have you followed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I have.
So if you have, then you know that Jeremy Lin, the guy that got paid a ton of money to go to Houston,
yep,
because the Knicks wouldn't pay up,
yep,
is doing a pretty much average job. And Stephen A. Smith said this yesterday on ESPN, that Jeremy Lin is average, and he's averaging 10 points and roughly 7 assists a game. Well, last night, he knocked down a 3 to help solidify a Rockets win.
Harden to Patterson at the line, right corner to Parsons, fakes, back out Harden, left wing Lin, pull up 3, it's good, and the Knicks down 21 points.
The Houston Rockets, on the strength of Jeremy Lin, defeated your New York Knicks.
Yep.
Who happen to be the best team in basketball right now.
No, they aren't.
Even though they're over the, they have the best record.
No, they don't.
In the East.
Oh, that may be in the East, but not in the NBA. The Memphis Grizzlies have the best record.
Okay, all right, whatever. So
I'm just saying that because I wanted to make sure that you're paying attention to basketball like you asked me.
So anyway.
Ain't that a pain in the ass?
Yeah, you are. It's okay. It's okay. So talk to me. Tell me what's going on with your Knicks and this game. How did they let the Rockets, of all teams, beat them?
Well, let me tell you something. They have James Harden. They have Jeremy Lin. And this little-known guy, and people, people that play fantasy basketball, there's one guy on this team that is, I'm telling you, you got to pick him up. Because I think he's going to be a name sooner or later. He's a small forward / shooting guard somewhere around there. I'm talking about Chandler Parsons. Is no joke. He's a three-point shooter. He can rebound, give you assists. Trust me, I've got him on one of my teams. I think I have him on both of my two basketball teams. Chandler Parsons will give you fantasy points. Houston Rockets, believe it or not, are a good team that can put up some points in a hurry, and they just have to. They've gotten a lot of pieces, and they got just get those pieces to be able to work together. So don't discount what the Houston Rockets did. Besides the fact is that the Knicks are on a road trip now, and things like this, a blowout from Houston, it happens. The Knicks are a very good team, but even the very good teams, just like the Heat, the first game of the season got blown out by the Knicks. It happens.
Okay, I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Knicks, your New York Knickerbockers.
Exactly. My New York Knickerbockers, yes, they got their butts handed to them. No problem. I understand that. It ain't going to happen probably the next time that they meet. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about that.
Let's move on to another team in the same area. There's the Brooklyn Nets. Here's Brook Lopez on making that winning basket.
Finds Lopez. left of the circle, drives it on Jordan. Floater over the oncoming Griffin, and it's good for Brook Lopez. Reined it in over the long arm defenders of the Clippers. And Brook Lopez with an ovation as he goes to the bench.
So, what's up with your Nets? What's up with the Nets, man? Are they going to be for real or what?
I'm not a Net fan. I tell you that right up the front. I'm not a Net fan. Never have been. I think they have a bunch of moving parts that need to be able to gel together. So it's going to take a while for them to get themselves together. But they have a lot of talent. Sometimes that talent's going to show out. Sometimes it's going to struggle, depending on who the matchup is. So.
So, but do you think Brook Lopez is worth that big contract he got?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's worth that big contract. The only deficiency he has is in the rebounding section. I think he's going to progress a lot more this year. Maybe not in the rebounding section portion of his game, but in the offensive portion and in the confidence, and plus the fact that he's got Joe Johnson and Deron Williams, I think he's going to be able to excel. So yes, I think he's worth a big contract, because the big men are not a dime a dozen. They're very hard to come by, especially a big man that can score consistently. Even though his one deficiency is on the rebounding portion of the game, but Kareem, and I'm not comparing him to Kareem Abdul, but I'm just saying Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was not a big rebounding guy. He was more an offensive force. So I think Brook Lopez is along them same lines. He's more offense versus defense and rebounding.
So, but for that type of money that he's getting, talking like, what, 100-something mil or 60-something mil, he has a hefty contract.
Yeah, it's the market.
I got it. The market demands so much for, you know, that skill position and things of that nature. But in this league, in the NBA, you have to have more than just offense. Offensive moves become a top tier player.
Yeah.
You know, the thing Spike Lee said about Carmelo Anthony. You know, he noticed something different. A lot of people noticed something different. Carmelo Anthony has started to play defense more.
Yeah,
you know,
and
so
he's become
a more well-rounded player.
And a lot of people doubted that, and I was firmly behind Carmelo Anthony. I knew that he respects his coach a lot, and he's bought into what the coach has been preaching, and he sees the pieces around him. He does do scoring. He's the man on their team. But in order to be able to thrive in this league, you got to be able to play defense, and he realizes it. That's why the Knicks are playing a lot better on both sides of the ball, because he's sharing the ball on the offensive side, and he's playing team defense on the defensive side. So when you got the superstar buying in, everybody else has got to buy in, and the team plays well because of that.
So you're attributing him playing defense to the Knicks' success?
Absolutely. Well, what I'm saying is this. When the superstar buys into what the coach wants, and he's all in, and everyone else has to buy in. Otherwise, the superstar and other teammates will police their locker room and make sure that everybody is buying in. When a superstar doesn't buy in, then you're going to have problems on the team. But when a superstar does buy in, you'll get results like you're getting with the Knicks. So.
Okay. Will it sustain itself? Big question. Do you think that's going to happen?
As long as they're winning,
as
long as they're winning, every team goes through a losing slump during the season. That happens, or they have a bad loss. That always happens. But as long as they are buying in, the team is seeing progress, especially the superstar. And I think Carmelo's got had a whole different mindset compared to maybe years in the past. I think this past time when he played on the Olympics with the talent he had around him and seeing how the teamwork prevailed, I think he carried a lot into this season, and he's got a different attitude about the game. I really believe that, and we'll just have to wait and see. It's not even a quarter into the season, so we have to wait and see. A quarter into the season, you have a better assessment of what's going to happen for the foreseeable future after that. But I like what I am seeing now, because they're playing team defense, and Carmelo's part of that.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, Jerry's eating a steak. He's cutting something up. He's just nom, nom, nom all the way, talking about his New York Knicks. If you want to get in on the conversation, always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We're going to hang out in our chat room. It's wide open. Post something, talk about something. We might bring it up. But as I said before, our plate is full, and Jerry's trying to get every morsel off of it from the sounds of it. There you go. I hear you smacking on the gristle or whatever it is you got over there. So.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay.
I've been running all day. All day.
All day.
And I just got in just because I know I wanted to do the show with you, man. Just got in.
Well, I appreciate that. And that steak is probably mad at me because you're tearing them up like you had never had food before.
I don't eat red meat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That carrot has to be something awful or whatever it is because you're chomping it up. But let me bring you to a different subject matter.
Go ahead.
We'll get back to basketball at a later date if Black jumps in here or not. Let's talk about college football. The top five has three SEC teams. Three. Bama, Georgia, and Florida. Now, Florida, I believe, has already won their side of the bracket. So it's between Georgia and Alabama to see. It's Georgia and Florida that have to fight to see who faces Bama in the SEC title game, if I'm not correct. Correct?
That's right.
Okay. So those two meet, then they'll face Bama in the SEC title game. Or one of them will meet in the SEC title game, with Oregon sitting at number five. The question is, can Notre Dame make it there? Here's Kelly on pressuring Wick.
I mean, they still have terrific playmakers on the perimeter, and certainly they're going to protect their quarterback. Lane's an experienced play caller, so they're going to find a way to get the ball to Lee and Wood, and, you know, obviously they can run the football. So, you know, for us, we have to prepare as if it's the normal offense for them and just make sure that we give, Max some pressure.
So the question becomes, can Notre Dame defeat USC and stake their claim to the national title game? They haven't been in the championship game since 1993. They're ranked number one.
I mean, they still have terrific playmakers on the perimeter, and certainly.
I didn't mean to hit that. They haven't been ranked number one since 1993. This is uncharted territory for Notre Dame in quite some time. It's going on 20 years, Jerry. 20 years.
Well,
has happened?
My worst nightmare. My worst nightmare. When I saw Oregon and Kansas State and the same weekend lose, and Kansas State get blown out, and Oregon lose against Stanford, I say there must be some divine intervention, because the fact is now I know Notre Dame's going to be number one, and everybody is, especially in the
Hoosier State.
I would say Hoosier State. Anyone that is of how can I say it, four leaf clover descent would absolutely go head over heels about Notre Dame being number one now. Anyway, Notre Dame, I'm looking at the standing BCS. USC is not even in the top 25.
This has got, they were 18 or 17, something like that.
USC is not in the top 25. UCLA is 17th. Washington is 25th. USC is not even rated. This is
and
not
they came
even,
in as a preseason number one.
This is not going to be close. Not going to be close,
sure.
Especially with a backup quarterback. No way.
So do you
no
think
way.
Barkley made a mistake by staying?
No.
And USC should have come out?
I don't, you know, no. Because the fact is, you see who got drafted. Tannehill got drafted. Whedon got drafted. Quite naturally, Luck and RG3 got drafted. Four quarterbacks in the first round. I don't think that was the only four quarterbacks that got drafted in the first round, if I'm not mistaken.
But I think Barkley would have been, he would have replaced Tannehill.
I kind of doubt it, because the fact is, Barkley doesn't have the arm strength as those quarterbacks. And I really truly believe, and it took me until this year to realize that USC quarterbacks are overrated. So, I think that is the stigma that Barkley has. He doesn't have a strong arm, I think that's going to affect him. So I think he did what he perceived as the right move to come out this year, hoping that his stock would either rise or stay the same as it was last year. I do believe his stock has probably dropped because of that. So I don't think he's a first round pick anyway. So he's probably barely a second round pick now. So I think his stock has definitely dropped. So, but to tell you the truth, you'll probably have to talk to a NFL scout or your boy Ricky, who knows quarterbacks a lot better than I do.
Ricky don't know Jack Scrapple.
Okay. Well, then what's your opinion? What's your opinion?
My opinion, I think he's still a first-round draft pick. Maybe not a top 10, but seeing the problems that teams are having with their quarterbacks now in the NFL and how the rookies are coming in ready to play, you know, the fact that Blaine Gabbert is really pretty much losing his job, because Mike Mularkey has already stated that even when Gabbert comes back next year, Henny might be considered the starting quarterback. You know, there's a chance that he could be picked in the top, not in the top, but in the first round.
Okay.
You know, the fact that Notre Dame is going against a backup quarterback gives them an opportunity to make the national championship game, but USC has a chance to spoil their dreams. If USC beats Notre Dame, and Notre Dame doesn't have a bowl game, I mean championship game to play, who then becomes number one and number two? Bama goes back to number one, because there aren't any more undefeated teams in college football, if I'm not mistaken. You know?
Well, answer me this then.
Go ahead.
I'm looking, I'm thinking, I'm not looking at the teams. Say come April, and the draft is up. Where is Matt Barkley going to go if you think he's going to go in the first round?
Honestly?
Yes. Yeah.
And you might say I'm crazy for it, but I think he might go to Buffalo. Philly. And what's another team that might be the quarterback? Oh, Arizona. Are you sure? Yeah, Arizona. I mean, prime target right there, Arizona guy. Prime target. Stays on the left coast. Goes inside. A pass-happy offense already, but they need to get an offensive line and a decent running game. But Arizona probably the landing spot. Right there, dude. Or maybe New England picks another The Jets took another USC quarterback.
I don't think so. I it's probably been going around the league probably unsaid that USC quarterbacks are basically overrated, and because the type of talent that they have around them. So
it boosts them up.
Yes, exactly. And when they have to be on a level playing field with the talent around them, they're below par quarterback. Just think of the quarterbacks that USC has pushed out in the last decade, and see if there's any really outstanding quarterbacks. Carson Palmer had his short time, but he was inconsistent. I'm trying to think of anyone besides Matt Leinart and Mark Sanchez.
John David Booty.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So. Not a football factory, even though it's pushed out some quarterbacks from that school.
Matt Castle. All right. Well, you know, since we're talking about quarterbacks and we're talking about USC, let's bring up Pete Carroll. And, you know, he's tired of people talking about Wilson being the problem as to why Seattle doesn't do well on the road or doesn't do well, period. Here's what he got to say as defending his quarterback.
You just look at Russell, I think you make the mistake there. I think this is all of us, and I think we all have to play better and more efficiently on the road. Everybody's got to contribute to it, and that goes all the way to defense and special teams. It's field position, you know, that gives us those opportunities that are in our favor, and by taking the ball away, by kicking it deep, by, you know, returning stuff, making things happen. So I think that's it's not just been one spot. It's been across the board that we haven't been just as effective.
So Pete Carroll, good old Pete, Mr. Competition guy. About USC and his quarterback. Do you think he missed on Russell Wilson as a good quarterback, or do you think the whole league missed on Wilson being a good quarterback, or is Pete right? It's the entire team that's the problem here.
Well, no, he didn't miss on the quarterback. The quarterback's got a lot of potential. He's like I said before. And it doesn't make a difference. If you look, history has a way of repeating itself, especially in the NFL, who these guys are creatures of habit and trends. And the trend is Jacksonville and Seattle play well at home, don't play well on the road. The names and faces may change, but the results basically stay the same. So it's just a statistical fact that Seattle just doesn't play well on the road. They have a big advantage when they go home with their 12th man, which is the crowd. They have a huge advantage. So that helps them a lot. They don't have that advantage on the road, and if their defense is not a stellar defense, quite naturally, the team is going to struggle because the offense is not a prolific, strong offense. It's one of the worst offenses in the league. Now, Russell Wilson's a rookie. Andrew Luck plays worse on the road than he does at home. But his worst is better than Russell Wilson's best on the road. He's a rookie.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's a rookie, and this kid is going to be a force to be reckoned with. He just needs a little bit more time, more seasoning than Andrew Luck or RG3. Those are two outstanding. That's the reason why they were drafted one and two, because we are seeing that. Russell Wilson wasn't drafted like that. And he probably exceeded expectations because he's starting. And if he's starting and these other quarterbacks that they have weren't able to step up to the challenge, he's got to be the best option that the Seahawks have to succeed, obviously. So he just needs a little bit more seasoning, and especially on the road is where it hurts him the most.
So that begs the question, where does Matt Flynn land? Does he stay in Seattle next year, or do they void his contract and, you know, get him out and he goes somewhere else?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know if they can, but I think they may restructure his contract.
It's only a three-year deal.
Huh?
It's only a three-year deal.
I understand that, but he's getting paid a lot more than Russell Wilson is getting paid, and they didn't realize what they had when Russell Wilson was out playing Matt Flynn and Tavares Jackson at the time. So now that Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback, and he's not doing but getting better, but he's just getting better from week to week with the experience. Matt Flynn is a insurance policy, so I would think they would probably try to restructure his contract first, and then push him off on somebody after that. So that's how I see it. I don't know if it's going to work that way. I don't know if it can work that way. But Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback, unless he, for some reason, he gets hurt or his ability takes a dump for the next few games. But I mean, Pete Carroll is a huge risk taker, and he still has that mindset from the college that you compete from week to week for your job. So as long as Wilson is showing out week to week that he's the better option for the Seattle Seahawks in the games, that's where he's going to be. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Okay. Well, let's go to another team still on the West Coast that's having starting quarterback issues. A person I think Jim Harbaugh is making an excellent decision if he goes this route by naming Kaepernick starting quarterback. I just tried to grab him in a Yahoo league, but it didn't work because Killer B just grabbed him a couple of days ago or whatever. What about the 49ers? You know, how good could they be if they had a quarterback that could actually throw the ball and run the ball? And they had. And the 49ers looked so good against Chicago on Monday night that, you know, I got to rethink who's the best team in the NFC. Or in the NFC, the 49ers looked outstanding. Here's Drew Brees on facing that defense of the 49ers.
Are they going to get us from time to time, or are they going to, you know, beat us from time to time? And yeah, because they're a really good front seven, and they have the ability to do that. But I think what you just have to do is, you know, minimize the loss when it does happen, or, you know, do your best to, hey, know where your outlet is, know where you can throw the ball away.
So, JT, let's get on two subjects here. First, Kaepernick, you know, and his ability to lead the 49ers team and usher in that mobile quarterback, a la Steve Young, back to San Fran. And let's talk about what Drew Brees just said. They have a good front seven. They dismantled the Bears with their front three. They got a safety and a fumble off of a front three rush. Talk to me about those two subjects.
Well, Kyle, Colin Kaepernick should be the starting quarterback. Colin Kaepernick, thank you, should be the starting quarterback. He's a new wave type of quarterback. Robert Griffin III, Cam Newton. I'm trying to think of some other mobile quarterbacks. Andrew Luck's a mobile quarterback, believe it or not.
Yes, he is, actually.
Russell Wilson. These guys are showing out, and they're showing their ability to be athletes that can throw the ball. Let me put it that way. Quarterbacks that can, run the ball and also throw the ball well. We always knew that Colin Kaepernick had an arm. Always knew he could run the ball. Under Jim Harbaugh, this kid's been a couple years. A couple years under Jim Harbaugh now, and if he can develop Alex Smith into what Alex Smith was doing last year and up until he got hurt this year, and then they're looking at practice. These guys are competing in practice and seeing what Colin Kaepernick can do in practice. These guys were bubbling over themselves after what they were experiencing with Colin Kaepernick in the lineup as a starter. Vernon Davis, after the game in his press conference, you could see the level of excitement about Colin Kaepernick and the job he did, and you know that because I told you what was going to happen.
You know what? You ain't got to bring that up. You ain't got to bring that up. Just keep moving with your analysis.
Wait a minute.
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, I gave you the analysis. So this is part of my analysis of what I'm saying here. What I had talked when I had made a wager with Vic last week about the matchup that we have in one of our fantasy leagues. He had Michael Crabtree going into Monday night trailing by 14 points and change. 14 points and change.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he thought he had it. I had told him more than once during the matchup, as the games were going on and the points were piling up in my favor, that it's a wrap. This is over with. Toward the end of the game, or at the end of the night on Sunday night, with only one player left to play, and that was on Mr. Vic's end, he proceeded to say that it's a wrap. You're going to get beat. Thank you for the donation, again, and call me the ATM. Fine and Sandy. I waited until an hour before the game, maybe an hour and 15 minutes before the game. And when I knew Colin Kaepernick was going to play, this is what I text to Mr. Vic.
Oh,
I said, Vernon Davis will have a bigger day, a bigger night than Michael Crabtree. That was my first text. My second text, this is why they call me the master. My second text was, you will lose by 2 or 3 points. That's what I said. Am I right, Mr. Gardner?
Hearsay.
No hearsay, because
yes, that's what you said.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Exactly what I said to you. And what happened? Do I need to say it, or do you need to say it?
I'll say it because you're gloating too much. I lost by 1.4 points. And yes, he was right. Vernon Davis had the bigger game than Crabtree. Crabtree almost had, he just got one more reception for like 7 yards, I would have won the game. Our match.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Okay,
understand
well,
it. Understand. I understand what I said. I had told you an hour and 15 minutes before the matchup, the last player was going to play, what was going to happen.
And it was Monday night, not Sunday night.
Okay, Monday night. Doesn't make a difference. Monday night. Monday night. I told you what was going to happen an hour and 15 minutes before it. And I knew you were pissed off because you didn't answer me after the game at all. I knew you were
hot. I went to sleep.
I knew you were hot and pissed off because I would have been. I know I would have been. If somebody told me that and it actually happened, I would have been upset and pissed off. I understand that. So I gave you time. But anyway, let's get back.
So,
but I had to put that out there.
We're going to talk about it, but here's the deal. I know I'm down this week in Yahoo. I'm down 30-some-odd points against you because we're going to talk about these Thanksgiving games right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're up. I'm willing to go double or nothing on the matchup we got going right now.
No. You know what? Let me tell you something, Vic.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me explain to you. Let me explain to you, and I'll be quite honestly and blunt with you. My team in Yahoo sucks. It's the worst team I have. It sucks horribly. It's the worst team I had. It's so bad that I didn't play Andre Johnson last week, and he went off. Anyway, my team is so bad that I'm just playing the players that I have in my team. I'm not even looking to make any waiver wires. I'm not looking to do anything with that team. I'm just playing out the string. I'll tell you right now, I'm just playing out the string because my team sucks. So I'm not even coming close to making any kind of wagers with that team because the players on that team, there's some decent team players on that team. I don't like my quarterback for one. And what's on the waiver wire is not really worth anything. So I'm just playing out. I'm 3-8. I'll probably go 3-9 because you probably beat me. Because that lineup, what I have, I may play around with the wide receivers, but my running backs are going to stay in place because Darren McFadden went down, whatever. And
well, you already had LeSure go and you had Johnson go. So that means you only have either a running back or a receiver to put in that flex spot.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about it. I have Torrey Smith, I think, in a flex spot, which I really don't want. But that's all I have, and there's really nothing on the waiver wire. So I just play what I play on that because.
Well, trade me Julio, even though he's hurt. I'll take him since you're not going to use him for the season. I might need him in the playoffs.
You got to give me something worth it, otherwise it'll get rejected.
I'll give you Antonio Brown and Kyle Rudolph or Dennis Peter.
Wait a minute. I don't want Dennis Peter. Peter's garbage. Peter's been garbage. Kyle Rudolph, I love Kyle Rudolph. You know that.
Well, I see Kyle Rudolph then.
Hold on, man. Hold on. Since we're on here and talking fantasy football right now.
Well, I want to talk about the Thanksgiving games. We can talk about this other stuff in a second.
Okay.
I'll let you look at it, and I'll bring up – you can look at it now, and I'll bring up the games. First game of Thanksgiving was Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. Your Houston Texans, by the way. I also
mm-hmm.
follow them as well. And the big controversy of that game has prompted an immediate rule change. Jim Schwartz threw the challenge flag before the replay booth had opportunity to look at it. And in a rule that was known to the coach, or supposed to have been known by the coaches, at the beginning of the season was, you cannot challenge a call, a touchdown, or a turnover until a decision has been rendered and replay has had an opportunity to look at it. Well, Mr. Schwartz, as he said in his interview, had the flag in his hand ready to throw before Forsett ran the ball into the end zone. After he crossed the plane, he threw the challenge flag and then was penalized 15 yards, and it canceled out the opportunity for the replay booth to look at replay. Now, Smith down in Atlanta did the same thing a couple of days prior, and I guess Schwartz didn't see what Smith did or didn't hear about it, because same situation. Now the NFL has immediately made a change to that policy. What do you think about that? Because obviously Corsett's knee and forearm were down when you know, when he was doing that run, but nobody caught it.
Wait a minute. As far as I know, the NFL said they weren't going to address it right away. They were going to wait until the end of the season.
No. That was a day or so ago. Right now, they're looking at making sure that rule is changed before Sunday, if they can get it done before Sunday.
Really?
Yes.
I was under the assumption that they weren't going to change that rule. They weren't going to address it until after the season.
No, they're looking at it right now, and I got my cousin on the line. Maybe you can talk about it. We're going to get to the Skins games next. But I wanted to hear what you both thought about
the Lions and
Detroit game and then that situation.
As far as I saw, that he scored a touchdown. That's what
you
I saw.
You didn't see his knee down?
I didn't see nothing. I saw a touchdown.
Well, we know you got cataract issues. You know that.
I saw a touchdown. I didn't see anything. Hey, you know, if I get an overzealous coach on the other sideline decide to throw a flag, not knowing the rule, I can't help that. All I saw it was a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you think, Michael?
Mikhail.
Hello.
Yeah.
Mikhail.
Yeah, man. Yeah, my skin, my president's black and my skins is red. What's up?
We ain't even talking about that yet.
Oh, God.
Oh, you ain't talking about that?
I tried to call in
yesterday. I don't know what was going on there. It sounded like it was a tape going on. But, you know, I was trying to get to Mac. I had a couple of things to talk about. You know, the Cowboys lost and so did the Lions. And so it was a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Well, let's talk about the Lions and Texans game real quick. Did you see it at all?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I thought he was down, but that was a little confusion, though. You know, that was a little confusion. I thought he was down. I ain't going on your team, Jerry, but my man looked like he was down. But that was a lot of confusion there, man. That was a lot of confusion.
Well,
NFL need to get that straightened out a little bit. I don't know, because it was good that you know, it doesn't allow the coach just to throw out an arbitrary flag or anything and, you know, penalize them for it. You know, that's cool, but it's the whole object of the thing is to get the call right. That's the whole object. And I don't think that call was right.
Hey, from what I see.
Down and the Lions lost, so, and, you know, Mac is over there, you know, grumpy and probably his feelings is hurt, and my president is black, so it's all good.
Okay.
Hey, I got a quick question before we go on any further. Did anybody listen to the episode that Mac and I had, either last night or the week before?
Yeah, I listened to it. I wish I had been a part of that conversation because he was way off the reservation.
Yes.
Way off the reservation.
Yes.
Way off the reservation.
Well, I mean, I didn't get to catch it all because I was doing things with the family. But, you know, it's Mac. He's on Facebook doing his thing now, saying things, and he's trying to elicit a response from all the Redskins fans by posting the same things. And, you know, I decided I'm not going to respond because I don't want to feed the fire. But
you can easily respond because you know what? It's just filled with a lot of haterade. That's all. It's filled with a lot of haterade. You know, and he's supposedly like the Lions, and he'll never talk about them. You know,
it's just not as often because he knows they're not that good. But if they win, he'll post something about it. But if he loses, he'll say, yeah, I know they're bombs and stuff like that. But, you know, I thought actually they won that game. Detroit actually won that game. The Texans played for 10 quarters of NFL football this past week.
I had to cut it off.
Not to mention the practices that they had, the game. they played 10 quarters. Overtime with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And overtime with Detroit. You know, it was, they looked very, very tired. You have people coming up lane. Do you think, Jerry, this is your team, that's the beginning of the end for them and their play? I mean, they're going to go to the playoffs. Do you think because they've been so worn down that they will not be ready to defend their first game in the playoffs? They're going to get the first round bye if they can, you know, lock up home field advantage and all that. But
Well, what troubles me is the my the defensive players. Thank God it's not the offense. The defensive players going down.
Yeah.
And the what's real troubling is the last two games, one against a lowly Jacksonville, who happens to be the lowest scoring team in the NFL, racking up crazy yardage and crazy points on the Texans. And I expected a shootout with Detroit, but I didn't expect it to be as dominating, in my opinion, on one side versus the other, Detroit against Houston. Which really bothered me. I was extremely bothered by what the defense didn't do in this game, and the guys going down, especially in the linebacking core going down. That's really bothered me because that's one of the foundations of Wade Phillips' defense, is the linebackers, and seemed like the problem they had in the secondary raised his ugly head again, and that's another problem that's bothering me. I was screaming at the TV because number 22, who happens to be Ball, was getting torched like he was in a giving mood on Thanksgiving, and because Jonathan Joseph wasn't there, and that was a big reason that, well, not a big reason, but one of the main reasons why they were targeting Ball, and he seemed like no matter where he went on the field, they were targeting him because he definitely was a weak link in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a few more days from now to rest up, to try to reflect on and get themselves together. I don't have a problem. I don't think it's going to be a problem going into the playoffs. I think they're going to probably rest a few people once they have whatever they have established. I still expect this team to do well in the playoffs. I don't think there's too many teams out there that can compete against them in the NFC. In the AFC, maybe Denver and New England. I think that's the only two obstacles that really are going to be obstacles in the AFC for the Texans. So.
Okay. Mike. Maybe not.
He went to
sleep.
What'd
you say? No, I wanted to get your thoughts on Houston and all the injuries they're experiencing right now.
Yo, Houston is doing very well, man. I'm really impressed by how they're able to manage everything with the injuries and their play. And one of the things I've noticed is they've always been resilient to just about everything. You know, they've been down by a lot, they've come back. Yo, I think I really think they're going to make a deep playoff run. I would be really surprised if they don't, you know, at least get to the AFC Championship this year.
I agree with you on that. Black the Bookie Monster has joined us, and we're going to talk about several things. We're going to get back to football.
What's up, Black?
Wait a minute, before you go there, Mike, let me get his response.
He cannot wait.
I know what you're going to do, Mike. Go ahead, Black. I wanted to talk to you about several things, actually. Right now we're talking about the Texans-Lions game, and then I want you to go into the Hector Macho Camacho. I might want to get your thoughts on that, too. And then we'll go to the Skins game. But talk to me about that situation in Detroit, how they're quickly looking to change the ruling, and your thoughts on Houston's chances with their defense getting so banged up and playing 10 quarters within the past 5 days.
Houston is overrated, man. Don't look for any AFC championship run out of Houston this year. Jim Schwartz, the coach for Detroit, what can I say? Another Jason Garrett in Detroit. This is an idiot.
Is that all you got to say?
Well,
That's all I got to say.
Rest in peace to my man, Hector Macho Camacho. I was at work, so I didn't get to see any of the games, but I saw the highlights. Very foolish by that coach, Jim Schwartz, to throw the flag like that.
Okay. Well, wait a minute, Jerry. Wait a minute. Hold your question. I know what you're about to say. Why are you comparing him to Jason Garrett?
No. I was going to ask him why he thinks the Texans are overrated. Just because of two bad games? But I'm listening. I want to hear it.
Oh, just too many close games. I know Schaub had the one explosion where he went for like 500 something yards. Looks like Andre Johnson is coming around, but they're overrated.
Okay. Well, I don't think they are, and the reason why Schaub, they're having to get in the shootouts with all their teams because the defense is getting.
I like the Denver Broncos defense more than the Houston Texans defense.
That's a lot to be said. I think Denver's defense is okay, but I think they're on the same level as Houston's right now, maybe, because Houston's missing a lot of their starting parts. But I don't know. But let me hear your thoughts on your boy Hector Macho Camacho. I want to know how do you feel about his passing and, you know, do you think he was executed because he got shot in the head? What are your thoughts on it? I want to get
into Puerto Rico is a wild place, man. I don't think it was executed. It's just Puerto Rico is a wild place.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Great, great fighter, Camacho. Man, rest in peace. I mean, there was nothing else he can do. He was brain dead. You can't just leave a guy on life support brain dead. Makes no sense.
Gotcha. Mike?
Yeah, I've always loved Macho Camacho, and that dude used to just bring it. You know, he was bringing it back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like the 80s, he was bringing it, and he was also knocking dudes out. So I mean, I don't know if this was an execution. It sounded like he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, but you know, time will tell, and hopefully, you know, we'll all grow from this.
Okay, yeah, I hope so too. There's one thing I got to do before I go to the next subject matter. And I think both of these sound bites right here will help my cousin get to where he's got to go. And then this one right here, this says it all.
I want winners.
So, let's talk about that second game of Thanksgiving. Hail to the Redskins.
Oh,
hail victory. Now, I want to say something. Last Saturday, my cousin disappointed me. Mike disappointed me by saying the Redskins were going to lose one of the two games. I said they were going to win both games.
I sure did say that. I didn't think they were going to win both games.
They dominated both games. Now, in the second half, the Cowboy game, the Redskins just, I don't know what type of defense they were playing or what type of offense they decided to start running, but it allowed the Cowboys to get back in it, and it was, to me, a way it showed teams how to beat the Redskins by doing no huddle because they couldn't adjust. They just could not adjust. The Cowboys made that game closer than what it actually was. So, since Black didn't have an opportunity to see the game because he's at work, Michael, briefly and respectfully, give him a rundown of the game.
I mean, basically, you know, like, you know, it was a RG3 homecoming, basically. I mean, that second quarter, they bust out and got 28 points, you know, and once they got out of here by 28 points, Dallas was playing catch-up. It seemed as though Dallas was going to, you know, by about the third quarter, it seemed like Dallas was mounting up a comeback, but it didn't happen. So that's pretty much it. I was pleasantly surprised about the whole thing.
Well,
I really was.
Talking about the wow factor, RG3 put on a display it was phenomenal. But in my opinion, they could have scored more points in that game.
Yeah.
The simple fact is, come the third quarter, and for the most part of the third quarter and part of the fourth quarter until Dallas started coming back, Kyle Shanahan, for whatever reason, decided to get conservative and take the foot off the pedal and gave the Cowboys more chances because he was constantly running the ball versus trying to play the same way they were playing in the first half. And that helped cause the Cowboys to get more touches and more opportunities, which brought the game closer than it was actually should have been. I don't know. I mean, from what I understand, after the game, Jerry Jones and Black maybe could educate me on this, that Jerry Jones was awed by how good RG3 was.
I wouldn't say odd. I understand that him and Garrett were slurping nuts of RG3 after the game. I don't understand why the guy plays in your backyard, and I don't know who remembers this, but back when we had the discussion, didn't I say go and trade and go get that man? I pleaded with Jerry Jones to go make a move, and he didn't do it, and then this is what happens. You're a GM, a false GM, like Jerry Jones is, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and the fact is that I don't know. I mean, it was one big play and one wow after the other in that game with RG3. It was like it was unbelievable how good this kid was. I didn't think he was going to play this well against Dallas in Dallas. But just like Black said, it was like a homecoming. I mean, it was no contest. Let me put it that way. It really wasn't.
Well, I'll say this: his receivers actually looked like receivers, and made catches.
Yeah, they were catching the ball. Yeah, they were catching.
You know, I mean, some of those balls were not really thrown well, but they started catching the ball. I mean, Santana Moss, you know, he looked really good. And for the life of me, I do not understand why they keep him as the third receiver. Why don't they just start him with Pierre Garçon and give, you know, teams double threats? You know, you got Pierre Garçon
They actually need to move Moss all around the field. They should be moving Moss and Garçon all around the field.
I got that, but what I'm saying is they're never on the field. They don't start. Garçon starts with either Hankerson or somebody else, but it's not Santana. If you notice, that's who RG3 is going to, or he went to for those first downs, and he needed something. He went to Santana Moss. You know, Pierre got one long touchdown, and then he got maybe two other passes. But, you know, the reliable one was Santana, and for life, I don't understand why they don't want to use him in a bigger role. And I understand you don't want to use Chris Cooley as much because he hasn't been there long enough to get his football legs together. But
Chris Cooley is ineffective. That's the reason why he was cut before the offseason. He's ineffective.
Well, if they don't give him the ball.
He's lost a step, but I think his football IQ is what makes him a better overall option.
than the rest of the guys.
If Shanahan was smart, he would slide Cooley over to that fullback formation and the pistol.
Yeah. That would be great because Young is good. Young is good, but I've seen Young miss some blocks. I've seen Young do some things that, you know, I'm like, man, we need a better fullback. But, you know,
Black, the difference between Young and Cooley, Young has got, a couple of steps on Cooley. He's got a couple of steps on Cooley. Cooley don't have that burst or that speed like that, and he also can block maybe a tad bit better than Cooley. That's the only thing. Other than that, it wouldn't be no problem because
they like to run those fakes though, so it'll be very effective.
Yeah, but during the preseason they tried that. They tried it.
Oh, they had Cooley at fullback.
Yeah, they had Cooley at fullback. Young just looked better. He was just a better player.
Well, at least you have competence going on your side. Just like my Wizards, I have competence going down in Dallas. I've already striked against the Wizards. I haven't watched the Wizards game all year, and now my strike begins with Dallas. No more Dallas games, even though I couldn't even watch. No more Dallas games for me for the rest of the season.
Well, let me ask you something, Black.
I'm not switching teams, Mr. Taylor.
I'm not going to ask you that. I know you're down on me for doing that. I understand that, but that's it is what it is. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. You've seen your Dallas Cowboys play up until this time, or you've seen how they played or seen highlights of their play from week to week, with whatever circumstances cause you not to be able to watch a game or not. What do you think, and this is going to be a pretty big open-ended question, what the Dallas Cowboys should do from the front office to the coaching staff, and who would you want if you want to get rid of the coaching staff to take his place?
I have no coaching candidates right now, but I know when it's 1st and 10, you don't run a quarterback sneak. As Jerry Jones being the owner, he already come out on record saying he won't fire himself as GM. So there's really no solution to your question.
Well, I'll say this, and then we're going to move on. I think the answer to the Cowboys' issues are very simple. Find a running game, and then teams will fear your passing, and your defense won't be on the field for 35 to 40 minutes a game. Murray is that guy, but he's injured. Felix would thought to be that guy because he's fast, but he's often injured. Find a running back.
I want to ask another question to Black. What do you think of your quarterback? And who would be a viable option if you don't like him?
I think my quarterback is half American, half Mexican.
What?
He doesn't belong playing for the Cowboys. He's just an okay talent. Don't want to see Orton out there. They should have drafted the guy 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
Well,
they've wasted Romo's serviceable years with this foolishness. I mean, I looked at the stats. The guy threw 62 times. Is there really a reason for that?
No running game, guy.
Well, you need a man to run, don't you?
Hey,
we don't draft interior. We just draft skills.
I know. They need to draft all over. But let's move on because I got a couple more subs we got to get to. We're not gonna get to the picks this week. But this is on those lines. Talk about Ray Rice and Suggs for the Ravens. Ray Rice is talking about running against that Chargers D, and then going here from Suggs on just winning.
Veteran leadership they have on their defense really sticks out to me. And the younger guys they have in there sort of reminds me of ourselves. You know, when you look at a guy in the middle like Tequila Spikes, who's been doing it for 15 years, you look at He's the ultimate pro. He got a young linebacker next to him. It sort of reminded me of our situation here with a, you know, with a Ray Lewis and a, you know, Jamel McClain and Danielle Ellaby. So they're tough.
I always say, you know, change is permanent. You say, oh, we got to fit, we got to change. Well, we have to see at the end of the 16 where we fare. We're just gonna keep trying to play very good football around good defense, and keep trying to compile wins. You know what I mean? We're gonna continue to try to get better each week, and we just have to wait and see where we end up at.
So, I had a soundbite for Joe Flacco, but he's not even enough to get on this show. Just messing with Jerry on that. But talk to me about the Ravens now. Now, I recanted my earlier statement that I made a couple weeks ago about Pittsburgh winning division and Cincinnati coming in second. With the injury to Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think it's
going to happen. I think we all ripped you on that, I think.
That's okay. Y'all can rip me, but before Ben went down, it was very, very likely. You know, it was extremely likely. But the Ravens are the Ravens. They're going against the Chargers defense and a team that is virtually, they have nothing to lose. Either the coach and the GM is going to get fired, or they're going to have to find a way to make the playoffs. Because Peyton Manning and the Broncos are running away with that division, hands down. You know, how does San Diego right the ship, especially going against a team in the Ravens where folks are saying, you know what, Flacco isn't elite. They seem to give the ball to Ray Rice and let him run. What do you guys think about that? I know Jerry has some strong thoughts on it, but I'm going to let my cousin go first. Then we're going to go you, Black, and then we'll go Jerry.
The Ravens. Baltimore's finest, huh? I am beginning to see, you know, the Ravens look a little bit, maybe a tad better than the Steelers. You know, they still have a lot of injuries. You know, you got the loss of Ray Lewis and stuff like that. So, you know, and then you know they just what's the boy Ed Reed? He just got that suspension.
Right.
And
well,
that's gonna be this game, right?
No, he got lifted. He just got fined. They took the suspension back. He's going to pay $50,000.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I think they should go in there and probably smack up the Chargers. They playing in San Diego?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going with them. They got that no huddle going on. Flacco's got a lot to prove. And you know, he's looking like he's getting buried in it. You know what I'm saying? But he's still got time to do it. He's still got time to show it. I'm wondering why he hasn't shown it.
He's falling apart. Go ahead, Black.
what is Flacco supposed to be showing you?
He's supposed to be showing that he's just the elite quarterback. You know, because
he wants
a
contract.
It's a contract year.
Yep.
That guy is elite. Another Romo, really. He's not elite. But I don't expect that San Diego to give the Ravens any type of problems in this game. I expect the Ravens to go in there and handle business. It's the month of November heading into December. This is crunch time. I don't see San Diego playing the spoiler here.
Jerry?
I was completely wrong about Joe Flacco, especially on the road. I mean, he plays absolutely horrible on the road. He's probably one of the worst quarterbacks. He had one of the worst quarterback ratings on the road in the NFL. And then going up against this team, any North Turner team, I'm not a North Turner fan, never have been. And it's proven out, especially this year. He should have gotten canned just with the GM last year. He got a reprieve, which was unnecessary because that's just prolonging the agony.
The inevitable.
Exactly. And this is going to be a very difficult game for both teams. The Ravens struggle on offense on the road because of Flacco, and the Philip Rivers struggles at home. Well, he's been struggling, period, because his left tackle, who just got put on injured reserve, is out. He plays a lot better when he has a left tackle. Jared Gaither is on his left side protecting him. He plays a lot better when he's in. since he hasn't been in. That's why one of the reasons why his play has been so bad, and he's not going to be in because he's on injury reserve. He's gone for the season, and he got an unrestricted free agent taking his place. This is going to be – I can't say it's going to be a shootout, but this is going to be probably a hard game to watch because both these teams are going to struggle to move the ball up and down the field because of the problems – one of the problems with their quarterback, and the other problem is with their defense. So this game's up in the air. Anybody can win this game. I would have to probably put the talent to Baltimore because I think they're a little bit more talented and have their stuff together. And the reason, because of North Turner and his asinine ways. Every time I talk about North Turner, I get a bad taste in my mouth. That's the truth.
Well, go wash your mouth and let somebody else talk.
Oh, God. Go ahead. Anybody. I don't care. You talk, Vic. You like talking.
I know I do. All right, here's the deal.
I'm like Norvell ice cream.
What's wrong with that droid phone? But here's the deal. Teddy is going to win this game. And I'm going to tell you why.
You said
Baltimore
San Diego?
Yes, San Diego's going to win this game.
Okay.
Baltimore is ranked 27th in the league versus the run.
Yeah, they stink.
And Jerry just pointed out that there's a free agent left tackle playing. If North Turner does not run the ball 35 times or more in this game with Ryan Williams, Matthews, and the other kid.
Who, Jackie Battle or Ronnie Brown? Yeah.
No, Jackie Battle. If he doesn't hammer the ball with Ryan Matthews and Jackie Battle in this game, he deserves to be fired if they lose. Because Baltimore has never been this low versus the run. Ever.
I try to tell you this, beginning of the season.
Well, what I'm saying about that is they've lost a lot of parts. Both starting cornerbacks, the inside linebacker, Haloti not as banged up. I mean, come on. I know you want to pass the ball, but pound the ball. If you got to start Jackie Battle, start him. Who cares? Run the ball, and you'll win the game. But that's my synopsis. I don't think Baltimore has enough on defense to stop San Diego's offense. Conversely, I think that San Diego's defense is just good enough to keep them in the game. Baltimore's going to get their points. They'll get their points, but I think if they pound the ball, San Diego does, they'll win this game. Let's move on to this last game before, two things.
Hey, Vic, yeah. I got a roll. I'm going to catch up with y'all next week.
Okay.
All right,
I'm good.
All right. Later,
all right.
Mike.
Later.
All right. Two things before we end the show. Firstly, I want to say every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Fantasy Sports and Politics. That would be me as your host and Jerry as the co-host, and Black calls in when he can, and my cousin likes to chime in as well. On Sunday, you got the Master Plan, where Jerry feeds you the most information known to the elderly about football, which is quite a bit. And he's been right, except for a couple times. That happens 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VSEHBK. Then on Tuesdays, you got Kim Fun with Passion Bikini, totally different type of style of show. She reaches out to the young, the old, the downtrodden, and the unwanted. That's Kim's thing. Hopefully Black will get our new banner up because he has her picture, my picture. Just use that same one of Jerry, I guess, and put yourself up there and get something from Mac. We'll get that done. Then on Thursday, we've got the Crew Show. Black the Book, Jeff the Joker, and JT ATM Money doing what they do, bringing more fan. I say sports entertainment. Known to man, they're going to talk about the games coming up just before this upcoming Thursday. We have Atlanta and New Orleans, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Atlanta and
New Orleans upcoming Thursday. So that should be a good game for those guys to talk about pregame. Then on Fridays, Mac Williams, Jerry Taylor with no chaser. You know, that's if Mac decides to come on his own show. You know, I don't know. He's avoiding politics. But no chaser is no chaser, guys. That's what it means. It's straight up, hardcore, straight to the point. If you don't like it, as Mac says, you ain't got to listen. But please come listen. We want you to come listen. So that's our shows. Now, for this upcoming game, the last thing we're going to talk about here is it's a really good matchup. We're going to hear three sound bites. I want to get you guys' thoughts on it. You got Tampa Bay facing off against Atlanta. Here's Ryan on Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, on the Bucks' run defense and them trying to run the ball. If you notice, Atlanta has been running the ball that well as of late. Here's Matt Ryan on both of those topics.
I think statistics sometimes jump out at you like that, but they've played with a lead in a lot of different games, so teams have been forced to throw the ball against them, and I think that's, you know, part of why their statistics are the way they are. With that said, though, I think they're very, very good against the run, very stout in their front four. They play with great effort, great intensity, and they do a great job with their pressure packages. I think you want to go into a game and run the football, but you know, last week didn't shake out the way we wanted to. I think in all phases offensively, it didn't shake out the way we wanted it to, and we're going to try and do a better job with that this week.
So does that mean that Jaquez Rogers is going to get the ball more from the backfield because they're going to be up tempo? They'll have him in the backfield handing it off to him. Or they're going to go smash mouth, okay, right in the bug ball, and get Michael Turner to pound the ball. Here's Greg Schiano. Well, let me play the soundbite first. Greg Schiano on Dallas Clark getting more involved in the offense.
He's got a lot left in the tank. I mean, this guy is hungry and a driven football player, and a really good role model on our football team. So. We knew we were getting that because, you know, Ron had been with him at Indy. And, you know, we had some insider information there with Ron, so that helped a lot. I mean, to be frank with you, you know, knowing more gave us an advantage.
So, let's talk about both topics before we go off live here. So we're going to go to overtime just briefly, though. Thank everybody for listening to this show. And keep listening. We'll be here again next Saturday, 1:20 Eastern time. Matt Ryan and the Falcons. With Julio Jones possibly not playing, is this a game where they feature Jaquez Rogers out the backfield, or do they get the ball to Michael Turner and let him go loose? Black.
I like Tampa Bay in this game. I'm never been sold on Atlanta. The teams that they played early made them look good. They're starting to get a little bit of a rough patch in the schedule now. I like Tampa Bay pulling the upset here.
Okay, but what about the run game?
What about the run game? Jaquez Rogers has been there the whole season, just like Michael Turner. And they continue to run Michael Turner. So it's anybody's guess. Whoever they get in there will try to get it going. But the loss of Julio Jones will be big. I still like Tampa Bay here.
Okay.
I think they're going to do the same thing they've been doing. I don't think they're going to change their style. They're going to go to no huddle, try to spread the ball out. Instead of Julio Jones, it'll be Harry Douglas sitting out there. And use Jaquez Rogers like they've been using him. And the main back will be Michael Turner, even though Michael Turner's been slowing down to a snail's crawl. So I still think they're going to be using the same old formula. Mike Smith is not a big change guy. So I think what's got him to this point is what they're going to roll with.
All right. We got about 30 seconds left of live air. I want to thank everybody for listening to us. I'm going to give my statements and stuff off air. But you guys are more than welcome to stick around and come back and listen to the archives. We appreciate you. Again, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, it's Fantasy Sports and Politics And we are about to go over. So I appreciate you all. And Lat, Jerry, Mike, thanks for coming on. We're about to go in overtime right now. All right. So my thought on this whole game is this. My thought is that Julio goes down. That means Mr. Gonzalez is going to have a bigger role. Harry Douglas, he could step up and you know, be that guy. This has been a tumultuous sophomore year for Julio because he's gotten hurt a lot. He's still a big threat, but with the hand, the foot, the knee, everything's got him, like, banged up. A.J. Green is catching a touchdown, one touchdown in the last nine games. You know, even if it's just one catch, it's a touchdown, you know? That's why I think Cincinnati's going to do well in the North, AFC North, and probably go to the playoffs. Julio and the Falcons, they're in a catch-22. They can either pitch the ball to Jacquez and try to get it outside, or run Michael Turner up the middle. I put Michael Turner at fullback for several plays, and Jacquez Rogers at halfback for several plays, and see how that combination works out. I know Jason Snelling is a normal fullback, but I'll get them both on the field just to see how Tampa Bay reacts. I'm looking for Matt Ryan to throw because in order to get that front seven of Tampa loose, you're going to have to attack those corners. With Aaron, and my man Rondé Barber. Yeah, Rondé Barber back there. That's good, but who are your corners? Your corners aren't that good. And Roddy White should have an explosive game, along with Tony Gonzalez. So I'm looking forward to that matchup and that game. But again, how hard are you going to run either player? It seems like they got to play New Orleans Thursday night. It's a catch 22. You don't want to lose the game, but you don't want to overuse your players. It's just my thought process. All right, guys, put some party shots on, and then we're going to get out of here. Black, you're first.
Oh, yes. Like I said, Jerry, as I look here, I see that you're, let me see here. You're up 15 on the Jokers right now. I need you to keep that going. Because I need everyone to knock each other off in these last 2 weeks. So that the Kingdom style will slip on into the playoffs.
Gollum style ain't going nowhere, guy. Gollum style.
Well, if you look at the schedule, me and Joker have had the toughest time playing the teams that we've been playing. So we've had the hardest schedule. Joker's had the hardest. I had the second hardest schedule in this league. So it is what it is.
Are you complaining?
No, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining because me and Joker are fighting each other to try to get the he's got the last playoff spot right now. I plan to beat him like Black is trying to pick up the pieces after people knock each other off. So, and next week I got to play the division leader next week, Team Young.
Well, he won't be the division leader for long. We're tied. Just want to put that out there. We're tied and we're playing each other this week.
Okay.
He's harassing you right now by 60.
It's okay. He had.
Don't expect the RG3 type output from Matt Ryan this week. Don't expect it.
It'll happen, but you know, half his team played. Only what two of my players played? So I'm all right. I better be. All right. What else you got, Jerry? That's it.
Just tune in tomorrow. Master plan. I got a few things that I want to go. Go over about the players that you should look for. The pickings are getting very slim as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. But there's still some players out there that you can grab that I see that can still benefit you.
All right. Two things, ladies and gentlemen. Two things. Well, actually, three. firstly, since Blackboard is up, he's commissioner of the Parlay Palace. I would like my money sent directly to my PayPal account. I appreciate once I win. Number two, Yahoo, all you cats in Yahoo, I couldn't trade Jerry right now because the trade deadline has passed.
Yeah, I see that.
But, like Rick James told Eddie Murphy and Charlie Murphy, never should have gave them dudes money. Y'all never should have gave me Matty Ice. Never should have gave me Matty Ice. But we'll see what happens because I'm making the playoffs. And when I get there, I'm coming up with weak habit. Third, ESPN. It's going to be a struggle now that I'm down without Gronk for about 3 weeks. But Gronk comes back to the playoffs for us. And then I'm going to be Gronked up. I'm going to be Gronked up on some Gronk juice. And I will tell you this. That has to be the best draft I had in a very long time. To get the players that I got. And everybody laughed at my players as I was picking. Why are you getting the ACL? You're getting the walking wounded. Turns out the team's pretty damn good. Wouldn't you say, Jerry?
What team is that?
ESPN, where I got Matt Ryan, Gronkowski, AP. The list goes on and on.
Oh, you got lucky.
I mean, no respect at all, but okay. Okay.
You did well, my man. Let me put it this way. I'll give it to you. You did well, okay?
All right.
Is that what you wanted me to tell you? You did well.
Yeah, well, that too, but I'm coming to win it all. I got to win
okay.
it all. But anyway.
As long as I get my cut.
Your cut? What's
yeah.
your cut?
The cut that you owe me right now, ATM.
Okay, hey, we're going to bet each other back. And
you the ATM. You are the ATM. You
anyway,
are the ATM.
You know what? It's all right. It's all
always
right.
taking money.
That's
what right.
I'm always taking money.
No, no,
I'm
that's who I am. That's what I am. Black, what'd I tell right. you? What'd I tell you, Black?
Easy money.
Easy money, exactly. Jeez. Just call me Rodney. Rodney Dangerfield, easy money.
No respect, you got it. No respect. No respect. So,
yes.
With that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening to all of our programs. Your support is greatly appreciated, and anything and everything that we have, we share. We're not selfish. We just do what we need to do to survive. That's it. And go see Rise of the Guardian, Tooth Fairy, and the Boogeyman are real. Same. Made me cry.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Knock a dude out. On Friday. All day.
Oh, boy.
I can't do the Kevin Hart thing. I don't want to go there.
He's soft. So soft.
Shut up.
Oh, God.
Asshole. Anyway.
What? You hear that? What? Can you believe that? Do you believe what he just... The words that came out of his mouth. Do you think I deserved that, Black?
No, that was tough.
Now I understand why you did not want him in your league.
He's hyped up on Griffin.
For real?
Now I understand why you did not want him in your league, Black. I understand now.
What? No. Don't try to kick me out because I'm dominating. You know, hate is a bad thing. It doesn't look good on you. But anyway, let's get up out of here, fellas. JT.
From Black, myself, and Kermit, a.k.a. Victor Garner.
Come on, dude. Okay. Okay, I'll take that. But let's do it for real.
From Black, my see, and you expect me to just go along and just not call you anything else, but your God-given name. Come on, man. From Black, myself, and Vic, you've been listening to.
I appreciate you, homie.
Yeah.
You wanna talk back, you in the right place. So take a step back.
before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.